So last week we had the women's retreat, and it was just a wonderful time. The women who were there, it was a wonderful time. I'm not paying you to say that. It was a wonderful time. We had a wonderful time together, and you know what we did the last day at the Lord's leading, because we had done something similar to this at the prior year's retreat, but the Lord had. The way we do our retreat is everybody participates. Everybody has a part in it. Everybody, you know, some people had a craft. Some people led us in praise and worship. Some people, you know, did a teaching. Alicia and her team did a skit. So it's just everybody has a part, because it's so important that you see each other and you see the giftings and things that are in each other, right? Because every Sunday you come and see the pastor, but I want you all to see the treasures that are inside each one of you, and to build us together as a body. And so everybody had a part, and it was just wonderful because you get to see into each other's hearts, just get to celebrate. And so what we did on Sunday, which we had, like I said, Melody had kind of initiated the previous year, and I told everybody Friday morning that on Sunday we were to come together and everybody was to have a word for their sisters, a word of edification, exhortation, how you were blessed by your sister during the week. You know, it could be a scripture, whatever, but to come together on Sunday morning, and that's what we were doing. We were just, I would pick the person off the top of my list, and I would speak to, like, say, for example, it was Alicia. I would give the word of edification or exhortation or whatever the Lord had given me for her. And then we went around the room and everybody gave a word to her. And then we went to the next person and the next person. And I mean, there wasn't a dry eye in the house by the time we left. And it was just so beautiful. And Emily was sitting next to me and she kept saying to me, "Do you feel the love in this room? Do you feel the love in this room? It's thick. You could cut it with a knife." You know, and the some people were so overwhelmed by it that they were having a hard time receiving. And I said, "Do you see how we're so programmed? If we got up and started giving critical words, people would just bite that and run with it. But when you start getting words from God, and it's the truth about you, how we put these barriers up." And it was just so beautiful to see the common things we saw in each other and how we blessed each other. Well, that's how the body, that's how it's going to be in heaven, folks. You know, who's the accuser of the brethren? Satan. So when we're having accusing thoughts or things like that towards each other, that's never of God, right? He's always looking at us. I did a teaching yesterday at Caris about how, you know, you're either in Adam or you're in Christ. There's, when God looks out, he either sees individuals who are in Adam or individuals are in Christ. That's the way he looks at the world. And so when he looks at you, he sees Christ. He sees Christ in you. So he's not sitting there criticizing and finding faults. He's always speaking truth about who you are and the beauty of who you are and how he created you. And what he loves about you and your individuality, who you know, your special giftings and talents and abilities and your plans and purposes here on this earth. It's what he's always speaking over you. And then I thought about all of us as we went back to our homes and our everyday lives. I thought about how the enemy was going to come and say, "Yeah, but those women don't know the real you." Like, if they saw the way you just spoke to your husband, they wouldn't think that of you. Or if they just saw the way you were at work, or if they just saw the way you were a coworker, that what the enemy does is comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to steal what was planted in your heart, which is absolute truth, and take that from you and make you feel less than. To even though you're in Christ, he still tries to put the picture of Adam back on you and tell you you're still an Adam. And that is an outright lie. And so as I was just seeking the Lord, because I got very emotional. I started crying. I'm like, Lord, that's not the truth. That's what I don't want. I want what happened that weekend. I want what happens in church. I want the relationships that we have for each other to always be edifying, exhorting. It doesn't mean that we don't deal with issues and that there isn't stuff that come up, but we can do it in a way that's honoring of each other, you know? So it's not that there isn't, you know, if we have a problem that we sit down and talk, but we can do it in a way that honors and edifies and reminds people of the truth about them. That's God. That's what God does. If you mess up, he sits down with you and he says, remember who you are. Remember how I created you. That old identity was Adam, but this is the truth about you. That's how God talks to you, and that's the way we are to talk to each other and build each other up. And so I really felt, you know, that the Lord just wanted me to read over you. Now, you can look in your Bible if you want to as I read, but I would really encourage you to just kind of sit back and receive what the Lord is saying. Okay, this is from the Passion Translation. And I'm like, but Lord, I'm just reading a letter. And he goes, well, what do you think they did in the early church? Right? I don't have to take a scripture and build a sermon, not that I have to ever, but I have the opportunity to. But it's like, this word is powerful. And so what I want to do is just speak this over you, and I'm going to ask you, do you believe this? Because this is the truth of who you are. This is the truth of what God says about you. So I'm going to read from Ephesians. So it was funny that Pastor Jeremy pulled from Ephesians this morning. The Lord told him to. But I want you to just meditate on this. This is from Paul. And I want you to imagine, okay, I want to set the stage here. I want you to imagine that, because this is truth. So what we're doing is we're imagining what is really true. First of all, this room is filled with the angelic realm. We are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses that are here with us right now. They fill this room, including the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Father. They are all present here. And more than anything, they want you to get this. Because Jesus went to the cross so that you could grasp and understand who he has made you to be. And they fill this room, and their greatest desire is for you to understand who you are now that Christ has come. And so just have that mindset that you've got all of heaven championing you to receive this, because we are here to encounter him, to know him. And if we really encounter him and know him, we will live him. Not because we're trying, but because it just becomes a byproduct of the fact that we have encountered him and we know him. Okay? So just have that mindset as I read this. Dear friends, my name is Paul, and I was chosen by God to be an apostle of Jesus, the Messiah. I'm writing this letter to all the devoted believers who have been made holy by being one with Jesus, the Anointed One. May God himself, the Heavenly Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, release grace over you and impart total well-being into your lives. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus. All because he sees us wrapped into Christ. This is why we celebrate him with all of our hearts. And he chose us to be his very own, joining us to himself even before he laid the foundation of the universe. Because of his great love, he ordained us so that we would be seen as holy in his eyes and with unstained innocence. You have unstained innocence. What would your life be like if you believed that you were pure and innocent and you carried that awareness with you at all times? that you are pure, you are holy, and you have unstained innocence. For it was always in his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children. All of heaven is championing us to understand this. His perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children through our union with Jesus, the Anointed One, so that his tremendous love that cascades over us would glorify his grace. For the same love he has for the beloved one, Jesus, he has for us. And this unfolding plan brings him great pleasure. Since we are now joined in Christ, we have been given the treasures of redemption by his blood, the total cancellation of our sins. The total cancellation of our sins, all because of the cascading riches of his grace. This superabundant grace is already powerfully working in us, releasing within us all forms of wisdom and practical understanding. All forms of wisdom and practical understanding are flowing inside of you. And through the revelation of the Anointed One, he unveiled his secret desires to us, the hidden mystery of his long-range plan, which he was delighted to implement from the very beginning of time. And because of God's unfailing purpose, this detailed plan will reign supreme through every period of time until the fulfillment of all the ages finally reaches its climax, when God makes all things new in all of heaven and earth through Jesus Christ. Through our union with Christ, we too have been claimed by God as his own inheritance. Holy Spirit, make this real. Holy Spirit, make this real. Believe, before we were ever born, he gave us our destiny, that we would fulfill the plan of God who always accomplishes every purpose and plan in his heart. God's purpose was that we Jews, who were the first to long for the messianic hope, would be the first to believe in the Anointed One and bring great praise and glory to God. And because of him, when you who are not Jews heard the revelation of truth, you believed in the wonderful news of salvation. Now we have been stamped with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. He is given to us like an engagement ring is given to a bride, and as the first installment of what's coming, he is our hope, a promise of a future inheritance, which seals us until we have all of redemption's promises and experience complete freedom, all for the supreme glory and honor of God. Because of this, since I first heard about your strong faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your tender love toward all his devoted ones, my heart is always full and overflowing with thanks to God for you as I constantly remember you in my prayers. I pray that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart to you the riches of the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation to know him through your deepening intimacy with him. I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling. That is the wealth of God's glorious inheritance that he finds in us, his holy ones. We're his inheritance. We're in his inheritance. I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. This is the mighty power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted him to the place of highest honor and supreme authority in the heavenly realm. And now he is exalted as first above every ruler, authority, government, and realm of power in existence. He is gloriously enthroned over every name that is ever praised, not only in this age, but in the age that is coming. And he alone is the leader and source of everything needed in the church. God has put everything beneath the authority of Jesus Christ and has given him the highest rank above all others. And now we, his church, are his body on the earth, and that which fills him who is being filled by it. And his fullness fills you, even though you were once like corpses, dead in your sins and offenses. It wasn't that long ago that you lived in the religious customs and values of this world, obeying the dark ruler of the earthly realm who fills the atmosphere with his authority and works diligently in the hearts of those who are disobedient to the truth of God. The corruption that was in us from birth was expressed through the deeds and desires of our self-life. We lived by whatever natural cravings and thoughts our minds dictated, living as rebellious children subject to God's wrath like everyone else. But God still loved us with such great love. He is so rich in compassion and mercy. Even when we were dead and doomed in our many sins, he united us into the very life of Christ and saved us by his wonderful grace. He raised us up with Christ, the exalted one, and we ascended with him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm, for we are now co-seated as one with Christ. Wow. Throughout the coming ages, we will be the visible display of the infinite, limitless riches of his grace and kindness, which was showered upon us in Jesus Christ. For it was only through this wonderful grace that we believed in him. Nothing we did could ever earn this salvation, for it was the gracious gift from God that brought us to Christ. So no one will ever be able to boast, for salvation is never a reward for good works or human striving. We have become his poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us. For we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. Wow. There has never been a generation that has been given the detailed understanding of this glorious and divine mystery until now. He kept it a secret until this generation. God is revealing it only now to his sacred apostles and prophets by the Holy Spirit. Here's the secret. The gospel of grace has made you, non-Jewish believers, into co-heirs of his promise through your union with him, and you have now become members of his body, one with the Anointed One. My passion is to enlighten every person to this divine mystery. It was hidden for ages past until now and kept a secret in the heart of God, the creator of all. The purpose of this was to unveil before every throne and rank of angelic orders in the heavenly realm God's full and diverse wisdom revealed through the church. This perfectly wise plan was destined from eternal ages and fulfilled completely in our Lord Jesus Christ, so that now we have boldness through him and free access as kings before the Father because of our complete confidence in Christ's faithfulness. My dear friends, I pray that you will remain strong and not be discouraged or ashamed by all that I suffer on your behalf, for it is for your glory. So I kneel humbly in awe before the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the perfect Father of every father and child in heaven and on earth. And I pray that he would unveil within you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power. Then, by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. Then you will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love. How enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. We use that scripture so many times for finances. But it's not about that. It's about our transformation into the fullness of who He is. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request and your most unbelievable dream and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for His miraculous power constantly energizes you. It's all Him. Now we offer up to God all the glorious praise that rises from every church in every generation through Jesus Christ and all that will yet be manifest through time and eternity. Amen. This is truth. This is the truth of who we are. This is what we're to meditate on day and night. Our purity, our holiness, our righteousness in Him. The passion that He has for us, the fact that it's His grace and it's His mercy and it's His power that works in us and it transforms us. And our only job is to sit at His feet and have a relationship with Him and allow Him to just love us and show us who we are day after day, time after time. And to not be discouraged, because He will work it all out. In Colossians chapter 1, so I'm going to start in verse 15. It says, He is the divine portrait, the true likeness of the invisible God and the firstborn heir of all creation. He's the firstborn of what? Us. See, we were born in Adam and we could never look like anything other than Adam. But when we're born again, when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're born into Christ. And each seed produces after its own kind. It's the seed that's inside of us, and it's His powerful seed that works to bring completion, the fullness of Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's His work. It's His power. And He's the likeness. You know, I've said to you so many times, Jesus was a picture of God. Yes, but He was a picture of us. For though through the Son everything was created, both in the heavenly realm and on the earth, all that is seen and all that is unseen. You know, the scientists are still looking out into the stars and the planets. You know, because so many times we think about it in terms of our universe. But it's everything that's seen in the physical and not seen in the physical. I mean, we're talking about the spiritual dimensions too. Like there's a spiritual dimension we don't see. But we're also talking about the physical dimension of planets that the scientists can't even yet discover, right? That He created all of that. And He's in charge of all of that. Every seed of power, realm of government, principality, and authority, it was all created through Him and for His purpose. He existed before anything was made, and now everything finds completion in Him. He is the head of the body, which is the church. And church just means called out ones. It's not a building. We're the church, we each of us. And since He is the beginning and the firstborn heir in resurrection, He is the most exalted one, holding first place in everything. For God was satisfied to have all His fullness dwelling in Christ, and by the blood of His cross, everything in heaven and earth is brought back to Himself, back to its original intent, restored to innocence again. That's what jumped off the page at me. Restored to innocence again. You have been restored to innocence. We have been restored to innocence. And we can be. That's why we come boldly to the throne room as little children. Because you have to come to the place of that innocence that little children have. He's restored us back to us. Because we cry out, Abba, Father, we've been come back to this innocent child. Everything has been stripped off of us. And we now stand before Him, pure and righteous and holy, innocent, just like you were created to be in His presence. That's who we are now. And anything that tells you any other thing is a lie from the pit of hell, and you do not agree with it. If you agree with the lie, you empower the liar. restored to innocence. We're back to its original intent and restored to innocence again. Even though you were once distant from him, living in the shadows of your evil thoughts and actions, he reconnected you back to himself. He released his supernatural peace to you through the sacrifice of his own body as the sin payment on your behalf so that you would dwell in his presence. And now there is nothing between you and Father God, for he sees you as holy, flawless, and restored. If indeed you continue to advance in faith, assured of a firm foundation to grow upon, never be shaken from the hope of the gospel you have believed in. And this is the glorious news I preach all over the world. Verse 26, this is a divine mystery, a secret surprise that has been concealed from the world for generations, but now it's being revealed and unfolded and manifested for every holy believer to experience. Living within you is the Christ who floods you with the expectation of glory. This mystery of Christ embedded within us becomes a heavenly treasure chest of hope, filled with the riches of glory for his people. And God wants everyone to know it. We're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. This room is filled with the angelic realm. And all they ask us to do is to believe it. That's all they ask us to do is to receive the truth of what Jesus Christ has absolutely done for each one of us. And to rest in holiness and purity. And you know, when you believe you're pure, all of a sudden, you know what? You won't want to do something that's impure because you know you're pure. You know, and so all of a sudden that stuff that you've, the attitudes and things that we've done in the past, all of a sudden it just doesn't hold its attraction because it's not who we are. So why do we want to participate in that? And it's not a work of our efforts. It's just a work of his grace. You know, we just stand in his presence, and how I was showing yesterday, it's like we come into Christ, and it's like a crust around us, you know? Because even though we've come into Christ and we're secure in that, we still have a picture of ourselves that equals Adam. And so it's like we have this thing around us, and God just takes, he washes us with the water of the word, and he's just, it's like an eraser. And it's just, he just keeps loving on us and hugging on us. And this eraser just erases this circle that keeps us, you know, bound, that keeps us from receiving his love, that makes us think we're unworthy, that has all these negative thoughts or bad attitudes. He just keeps erasing it and erasing it through his unconditional love for us. And we as a church are a picture of that. So we need to walk around with erasers and love on each other. And every time we love on each other, we're erasing another lie from my sister, right? We just keep erasing those lies because we're speaking truth to her about who she is, to break the lies. That's our responsibility as brothers and sisters in Christ. Do not see each other after the flesh. That's why God doesn't see us after the flesh. He either sees you in Adam or Christ. And our job as a church body is to hold that picture for each other. Because sometimes it's, unfortunately, harder to hold it for yourself. Right? And so we sit in his presence and we get to know each other and we just use the erasers of lies and keep speaking truth to each other, reminding each other of who we are and raising each other up. Because this is the truth. And this is what the Lord wants this church built on. I know that I know that I know that I know it. That each one of us embrace the truth of who we are in Christ. Because any other rock is faulty. Any other foundation is not going to hold us. It's sand. The rock is Christ. And this is the rock we stand in, is who we are in him. Who we are in him. Let's go to Romans. Again, if you just sit and receive. Just sit and receive. Amen. He said the word is his manual and his presence, and if we follow it, he will always be with us. That's what I just wanted to make sure I got on the recording. Romans 8:14. The mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit's always going to tell you who you are in Christ, right? So we're moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit who tells us who we are. And you did not receive the spirit of religious duty leading you back into the fear of never being good enough. You did not receive the spirit of religious duty leading you back into the fear of never being good enough. But you have received the spirit of full acceptance, enfolding you into the family of God. And you will never feel orphaned, for as he rises up within us, our spirits join him in saying the words of tender affection, "Beloved Father." For the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as he whispers into our innermost being, "You are God's beloved child." And since we are his true children, we qualify to share all his treasures, for indeed we are heirs of God himself. And since we are joined to Christ, we also inherit all that he is and all that he has. We will experience being co-glorified with him, provided that we accept his sufferings as our own. And that's just dying to ourselves and living for him. And the more we die to ourselves and receive this truth, that's the sufferings, we embody that. This is what heaven wants us to get. This is what Jesus died for. This is why he because he knew that's who you really were. And he knew you didn't know it. You know, Giselle had mentioned the other day, and the Lord had done something similar with me. I had been sitting there, you know, in my quiet time with him, just regretting all the different places I went that weren't him. Like, I can't, you know, like just thinking, God, all I ever wanted was you, but I did this and this and this. And he just said to me, like, don't regret that. I understand every place you went, I know you were looking for me. Like, he knew your heart and all the stuff we got into. He knew your heart. He knew you were looking for him. And you may not have realized it, and you may have been looking in all these false places, but he knew it. And he knew eventually he would get you over to who you are, because he's always known who you are. We were deceived, but he was never deceived. And the truth of what this whole book, you know, this whole book is about a mankind who was created to be in one with God, who fell and separated themselves from God, but God came back into human form to bring us back into relationship with him. That's this whole thing. It's the whole thing. It's that simple. And we make it so complicated sometimes in religion, but it's that simple. And it's just, it's you being able to enjoy the presence of your Father God as a blood-bought child made pure and righteous and holy in his sight. And so I just really believe the Lord just wants every one of us to just really be meditating on this. The truth about who you are, you know, the positive words that people speak to us. Sometimes we have so much time, hard time receiving that. No, you need to receive that. You need to open ourselves up to become vulnerable to God, to receive what he has for us and how he sees us. Because we can't, anything else we do would be in our own efforts. It has to come from that place of intimacy with him. And so he just calls us deeper and deeper and deeper into that place so that we can experience that and know. This isn't head knowledge. This isn't something for us to know in our head. God, Jesus came so we could experience God. We don't pursue the experience, we pursue him. If we pursue him, we will have the experience. Amen? Amen. So Lord, I just thank you so much for the power of your word. Thank you, the Apostle Paul, for all you shared. Thank you so much that we have your letters to be able to read and just and sit and bask in your truth. Thank you for reminding us of truth. Thank you to all the angelic hosts that just comes and surrounds us and just encourages us and exhorts us. Thank you, Lord, that we as a body commit to exhorting and encouraging each other in the truth of who we are. Thank you, Lord. Just seal this in our hearts, Lord, that we may live in the fullness of this. In Jesus' name, amen.